Let's go to God in prayer as we look into the book of Titus. Father, we praise you and we thank you. Lord, we love your word. And we ask, oh God, that you seal your word into our lives tonight. Speak to our hearts and our lives. Hide me behind your cross, oh God. That we may see and love Jesus and Jesus alone. Open your word of life. Feed the hungry spirits, oh God. And cause us to be filled with faith, filled with your word, filled with your grace. As we sit in your presence, let your light shine upon this place. Let your light shine upon our hearts and our lives. And cause us to be even transformed as we sit in your presence under the anointing of your word. We promise, O God, that in all that you do, we give you all glory, worship, and honor. Amen. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Just now we prayed for all the teenagers. And after such a prayer, be prepared that sometimes when you're at home, presence of God can come specially on you. And if the parents of them are here, don't get worried. You find them suddenly loving the word so much that all they want to do is read the Bible more than the papers and pray more than do anything else. We have one of our church members who live quite close to our area. And when his son got touched by the Lord, and all his son wanted to do was pray and read the Bible. And he got very concerned one day because his son was reading the Bible and praying nearly about 4 hours a day. He's even praying more than some pastors. And so he got very concerned for his studies. And he says, will he ever study again? So I said, he will. Because in our ministry, we have always emphasized a balance between the intellectual development and spiritual development. And so I said that based on our emphasis, you can be assured that your son will excel in studies too, because that's one area that we set a goal and we become an example to them. And I said, is he doing well in his school? He says, yes. And is he doing all his homework? Yes. Well, all these are positive signs. Of course, if one of the young men start praying all the time and starting to get F9s for all their work, we got to pray for them. And put Daniel's anointing on them. So he was all right. And I said, well, as long as he's still doing well in his studies and he's enjoying God, just let him. It's a phase that they must go through. And there's some things being formed. And when his son was very deep in that, he got quite close to the Lord until his parents were quite frightened. Because one day when they lost keys or certain thing, and his son was praying, he came out and said, the Lord told me it's right there. He said, but we are look all over the house, the Lord said. They look and they found it. And so he started operating the word of knowledge and seeing things of God. And I told the father, as long as he's still balancing studies and his relationship with people, he'll be fine. Just leave him alone. He'll just grow into that. And guess what? He was among the top scorers in his school. Praise God. And we can show forth that spirituality is not at the expense of being intellectual. And being intellectual need not be at the expense of being less spiritual. Praise God. And I felt I had to share that because when prayer like that for young people, things do happen. In case somebody may ask questions. And we have a revival among our church young people and over the last year. And they did lots of things together and God touched them. The book of Titus tonight, three short little chapters. And we pray, and probably you are praying, that the preacher is short. Sometimes we'll be short, sometimes we'll be long. The book of Titus, it's only three little chapters, and if you have not read it before you come, try to look as innocent as possible while we look at this book. As we mentioned, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and the book of Titus refers to ministries. They are called the pastoral epistles. They are letters that are written to pastors. And so Paul would talk something special from his heart in regard to the ministry. Of course, the principles involved apply to all professions. So here we have the book of Titus, and is the conclusion of the last of Paul's pastoral epistles. Philemon is a different book, more to a man whom Paul knew. And in 1 Timothy, we see the establishment and principles to establish a ministry. In 2 Timothy, we see principles involved in expanding or holding on steadfast to the ministry that God has given. You have been established, and now how to continue. In the book of Titus, although it's not so apparent, but if you read very carefully, there are principles involved to mature a ministry. Principles that show forth a ministry has come to maturity. And so we're going to look at them. In the book of Titus chapter 1, he speaks about the appointment of leaders. Here particularly, bishops. In chapter 1, verse 5. For this reason, I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking, and appoint elders in every city as I commanded you. So the whole gist of it speaks about appointment of leaders. In chapter 2, it speaks about different categories of people, and he categorized them by their age. He speaks about older men in verse 2, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith. Then in verse 3, he speaks about the older women. And then in verse 4, the young women. And then in verse 6, the young men. So there are four age categories that he speaks about. Of course, children's ministry are only implied here, but they are special category by themselves. So in chapter 2, he speaks to different age brackets, and he concludes about some who are not following fully in the Lord. He also speaks about the two professions, servants and masters. You're either, in the Bible's time, either a servant or a master, or in modern terms, either you're an employee or an employer. We fit in one of those categories. So in chapter 2, he speaks about a ministry that grows so matured that you could relate to all the different age brackets. And that's part of the maturity of a ministry. And when God called fivefold ministries, He calls them to relate to people of different age brackets. Now God can call some people specially to the children's ministry, but yet if you have been in children's ministry long, you realize that your maturity also depends on you being able to relate to the parents of the children. So you can't escape from relating to people who are older than you, people who are younger than you, people of the same age as you. And in fact, the more mature you are in your relationship to the parents or the children, the more you're able to handle the children better. And instead, some children's worker, all they know is how to handle children, and they don't understand the background of the children and how to handle parents, so they become less effective. I call them less mature. And the same with some can be called to the youth ministry. And you could play games with them. You could do the things that you do. Right? I realize it's a plural. And then, and yet, if you fail to relate to the parents of the youth, there's still something lacking on your inside. You can be very successful at attracting young people, but you will not be so successful in making them to be fathers in their later life. So we not only must attract them, we must be able to mature them so that they will be good leaders out in society, good leaders in their family, and mature them. And so, and there are specialized ministries. Right, we take note that there are specialized ministries, but we're going to speak about ministry in general, and how when we start growing in a ministry, sometimes we have a tendency to attract different age bracket, and if we don't break through that barrier, there will be always something that is lacking. And in chapter 2, part of the maturity is in the area of being able to relate to all the different age brackets. And it takes something to die within us and something to grow within us to do so. Chapter 1 when a ministry mature is the area of appointing people. Here in chapter 2, it's in relating to different age bracket. And in chapter 3, verse 1, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work. And chapter 3 is important. When a ministry matures, the ministry is able to relate to society and to all the authorities at large. You notice that when a ministry first gets started, especially if it's a young person or immature person, sometimes they're old but immature, they don't know how to relate properly to governmental authorities. And they tend to treat all these authorities like enemies. When they should not. And because the Bible tells us to respect them and treat them as people appointed by God to bring good upon the land. And so the maturity of a ministry is also involves an ability and skill to relate to society at large, and also to governmental authorities or established authorities. And you notice that some ministries don't mature at all. They never learn to relate. They never stretch out their arm in fellowship to reach out and be a blessing there. Which is why, if you notice different denominations, in the growth of a denomination, and you notice that when any new movement or any new group of churches or gather together, or any new denomination that is formed, when they first started, they always look like outcasts of society. Because they are just in their infant stages. And all the leaders involved have a persecution complex. They always think that somebody is against them. And is always trying to fight against something. And so they have a persecution complex. And they are very inward looking and withdrawn. And then they reach a maturing stage when they gain acceptability by those around them. And this could be a story of a church as well as a denomination. But most denominations, as they grow and when they reach maturity, when a denomination matures, which sometimes can take about 40 to 60 years, they begin to focus on good works and social works and activity. Which is why in the early days of any revival or any new group or any new movement, they usually are not very concerned for social works. But you notice that in every church and in every denomination, as they mature to a certain state, they realize, hey, we are in society, we have a place in society to contribute to. We are not only takers, we have to do something. And so they began to start things like drug rehabilitation centers, or social works to help the needy and the poor, orphanages to help those children who don't have parents, or places to take care of old folks or widows. And they become concerned in all these areas, what the Bible calls good works. And So some people are specially called in those areas. But usually, it takes a level of maturity to go into that. You notice that people like Lester Sumrall, when he started his ministry, I mean, he was just traveling and evangelizing and being a missionary, following Howard Carter around. And then he moved into a second stage where he moved into the peak of his ministry. He was an apostle and a teacher. Apostle, evangelist, and a teacher.